Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We now study the fourth of seven letters that the Lord sent to the churches of Asia. These letters present to us good things and bad things about the churches in various localities. The Lord commends the good, and of course He condemns the bad. And from this we can see what the Lord likes and what He dislikes. We can learn the admonitions and the corrections, the warnings and the remedies to bad situations as the Lord directs. Such letters are fountains from which we drink in order to know the will of the Lord more perfectly and how to serve Him more effectively. The letter now under consideration was the one that was sent to the church in Thyatira. Thyatira was not a very noteworthy city, according to historians. It is best known as a city where purple dyeing was the major skill. The Bible student may recall in Acts chapter 16 that Lydia was a seller of purple, and her home had been Thyatira. How the gospel first was taken there, we do not know. Some have speculated, but without foundation, that it was through Lydia that the news of Christ first reached that city. Truly, we have no way of knowing all of this. Although all of the letters are short, this one is the longest, found in Revelation 2, verses 18 through 29. However, the outline of the letter is similar to those that we've already studied. There is the salutation, words of commendation, then words of condemnation, words of admonition and encouragement, and the urging to pay attention to what has been written. Revelation 2:18, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." Now burnished brass is highly polished brass. The language is easily recognized as being figurative and symbolic, possibly indicating the penetrating sight of the Lord, piercing even to the most hidden portions. He is the all-inspecting one, with nothing escaping His view. He is the one of strength and durability, like brass, as well as one of beauty and brilliance, like burnished brass. The Son of God, with strong feet, is able to crush underfoot all evil that His all-seeing eye would discover. Whatever the implications specifically, these words are designed to picture Christ as powerful and able to accomplish what He wills. He goes on, "I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." Now this verse mentions several activities on the part of the church in Thyatira. There was charity, which is an active demonstration of love. No congregation is pleasing in the sight of the Lord where love does not exist. And Thyatira was noted for their faith. Christians, of course, walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And though they had not seen Christ personally, even as we have not seen Him personally, they knew the evidence concerning Him. Actual sight was not necessary for them to know by faith. In fact, friend, we can be more sure of the testimony of God's Word than the things that we might personally see and experience, because we're capable of being deceived. But the testimony of the Lord is true and reliable. Now this was a church of service and of ministry. The way to greatness, according to Christ, is the way of ministering and serving. Their love and charity was noted by the things they actually did in service. They were not involved in just busyness. They were active in doing the Lord's business. And they had patience, which is steadfastness and faithfulness. They, like the brethren of other churches, were subjected to persecutions, but they remained loyal to their convictions and to Christ. I used to have a picture in my office of a sailing ship being blown about by winds and waves slashing against it as it tried to go on toward its destination. And it strove to do that, of course, without being driven off course. This seems to picture what life of a Christian is supposed to be. He slashes through the difficulties of this life, but he stays on the course. Well, this was the case with the church in Thyatira. And the church had obviously made progress from the beginning. Its present works were greater than their first works. They had grown. They were doing more. And this is what the Lord expects of his people. Only when each member will do more will the church do more. We need to be reminded now and again that we shall not be judged at the last day as a congregation, but as individuals. And even though the church was doing more, that obviously does not necessarily mean each member was doing more. Obviously, some were. But it is vital for each one to examine himself or herself to see if they are contributing to the expansion of the church or not. Whereas Ephesus had left their first love and were urged to return to their first works, the brethren in Thyatira had not been content with the amount of their first works, and they were doing more. The next two verses read, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." Now Jezebel was the name of that infamous wife of Ahab, king of Israel. And the name Jezebel is synonymous with evil, like the name Judas. By the use of this name, Christ is either referring to some individual or to a group of individuals in the church that were wicked and influencing others to be wicked. The teaching was licentious and idolatrous. It should have been obvious to all that the teaching was false and damning to the soul. But it was going unchecked. Like in the church at Pergamos, false ways were being allowed to go without rebuke. The lack of discipline where there is the need for discipline is always detrimental to any church. And this evil woman, or this group of people, had been served fair warning and given opportunity to turn from their evil, but there had been no repentance. Friend, there is a time needed to allow those that are doing wrong to stop their wrong and to correct it. But there also comes a time when the line must be recognized and action taken. In Thyatira, the time to act had come. Verses 22 and 23 of Revelation 2 reads as follows. "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Not only would the leader of this false teaching and wicked ways be punished, but also those that followed after her. Now, whether this was a case of literal or spiritual adultery, we can only speculate. But in any case, it was abominable before God, and it would be dealt with in a harsh fashion as all evil deserves. Time had been given to turn, and when there was no turning, then there would be the burning. The purpose of strong action against this evil by the Lord was for the benefit of all the churches. Everyone needed to know that evil is not acceptable before God, and everyone is held accountable and will receive according to their works. The Lord knows the heart of each one. Nobody can get away with their evil. The Lord is not tolerant of sinfulness among his people. And then he said, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put none other burden upon you. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now there were those who were not involved in this evil. And of course they would not be punished. And they would not have additional burdens placed upon them. The only way to escape God's wrath, friend, is to do His will. You serve God and there will be blessings abundant, but if you defy Him, you can expect to receive what you sow. To those who had not fallen victim to this sinister teaching among them were admonished to hold fast. Faithfulness is one of the key themes of these letters, indeed the entire book of Revelation. Christ is saying to them in essence, the trials will soon be over. Don't give up. The victory ultimately will be yours. Keep on keeping on. That's what faithfulness is. And as with the other churches, He promises certain things to those that overcome. For some reason, too many baptized people think they have a guarantee of heaven regardless of what they do after being baptized. This false doctrine of once saved, always saved is denied by brethren, and rightly so. But it seems that some must think so by the indifference they manifest toward living a faithful Christian life. Those that overcome shall be given power over the nations, will rule with a rod of iron, will break the enemy as a potter does a vessel, and receive a morning star. Frankly, I do not profess to be able to get the full meaning of each of these categorizations. These are highly symbolic expressions, highly figurative statements. But of this we have a good certainty, namely, it's the implication of how the faithful Christian will have power over the enemies of his soul, that he would be victorious in spite of those that opposed him, that there was the rising star of hope, like a morning star, and this power and hope belonged to the faithful. Just as the first light of day was ushering in a new day, our hope will usher us into glory. Now, the distinctiveness of this letter might be summarized by saying, error is not as good as truth. Toleration of error is not as good as discipline of error. Growth and expansion is better than backsliding, but victory will be better than defeat. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.